Last week when we looked at 1 Samuel chapter 25, we focused on the grander theme of God's purposes that he was working out in this chapter. God preserving David from great sin. This time we're focusing in on one of the characters that are brought to the forefront here, Abigail. And we will read through the entire chapter again. This is the time period when David is fleeing for his life from King Saul, but he's got a bit of time of relief because Saul confessed that he was wrong in the previous chapter and went back to his home. 1 Samuel chapter 25, let's hear God's word. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace be to thine house and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now the shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there anything missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we have come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever comes to thine hand, to thy servant, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird you on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Now one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as they were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by day and night, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and lay them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertains unto him, and he has requited me evil for good. So and more so, more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertains to him by the morning light, any that pisses against the wall, or any male, that is. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as thy soul lives, seeing the Lord has withheld thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid has brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul. For the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisses against the wall." So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. It came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife," or to be his wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of him his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are often drawn to how things look, aren't we? We are often inclined to measure things by the appearance. Somebody gets a new car, and some of us wonder, what color is it? While others of us concern ourselves with more important matters like how does it sound? How does it feel? We buy a house, often the appearance factors quite highly. Think back on past elections here in Canada and the United States, we have to conclude that that people seem at least to vote on the basis of appearance quite often. And why has God caused it to be that at the age at which young men and young women are most likely to think about marriage, that it's also the time when they are in the flower of their youth? God has made men and women attractive. He has made women to be beautiful. But nevertheless, though our judgment is often swayed by appearances, and though God has made men and women to be attractive, women to be beautiful, Scripture instructs us at many points to not make judgments based on looks. A harlot might look outwardly beautiful, but Proverbs says, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. She'll take you to hell." Abigail was indeed a woman who was probably looking at the Scripture here, stunning to look at. Says in verse 3, a woman of beautiful countenance. But we see that there's so much more to her than just that. Her beauty of character is worthy of focus. Worthy of much more focus than just her looks. Scripture does not devote a whole lot of attention to how she looks, but does devote a lot of attention to her virtue. And because her virtue is so pivotal in this story, it's worthy of our focus as well. Last time we looked at this story, we saw how the Lord preserved David in faith and obedience from committing great sin against the Lord and killing Nabal, killing those other men, taking vengeance into his own hands. David would have fallen headlong into deep and terrible sin. It would have had devastating consequences in terms of the future reign of this king, this chosen one of the Lord. The Lord preserved that servant, David, for the sake of his people, for redemptive purposes. This time, we'll look at the means that the Lord used, the humble and beautiful means the Lord used to preserve his servant, the instrument in his hands, Abigail. We see that she is a wise woman. First, we see this woman's virtue. David, having been pursued in the wilderness by Saul, he's now moved into the wilderness of Paran. And it's come about time for him to celebrate a feast to the Lord, a feast with his men. But he doesn't have enough provision. So he sends some men to go to the wealthy man in the region. Wealthy man in Maon, who was from Carmel. He's in Carmel shearing He's from Maon. He's shearing his sheep, not far off then from David. And the men go, and as instructed by David, they give Nabal cordial greetings, reminding him of how well David and his men have treated them in the wilderness. They've been like a wall between him and enemies. They protected all that Nabal has. Nabal's shepherds have not lost any of their sheep while David has been there in the region. How does Nabal treat him? He treats him with disdain. Who is David? Many servants are leaving their masters nowadays. Surely this must be the similar circumstance. Why is he fleeing from Saul? And should I give my food that I've worked hard for and give it to such a man? Nabal is a fool. As the servants say to Abigail, nobody can speak to him. He's stubborn, set in his ways. As the men say of him, Nabal railed on David. He is a son of Belial. David hears from his servant the answer of Nabal. And his answer is very quick. Arm yourselves. Get your swords. On your horses. And off they go. Some of Nabal's servants, they saw what happened when those servants came to their master. And they go quickly to inform Nabal. They know how David's going to take this. David was furious. He takes 400 of his men and determined that by morning light he would put to death every male among David's company. David let himself be controlled by pride and anger. And there's nothing to stop him. If the Lord had put nothing in the way to hinder him, we know what would have happened. It would have been a bloody massacre in Israel. What does Abigail do? Even her life was in danger. As David acknowledged later in verse 34, the servants came to her and said, Nabal, he's coming to get Nabal. He's coming to get the whole household. She hurried. She took 200 loaves of bread. Perhaps she bought out the whole town's supply of bread. 2 bottles of wine, 5 butchered sheep, corn, raisins, figs, and loaded it all on donkeys. A caravan that went before her to David. And so in that way she met David. We see that she does much more here. 3 virtues that reveal Abigail's wisdom come to the surface in her manner towards David and in her words towards David. First, she shows respect. She bows herself to the ground before him. She fell at his feet. If she was a proud woman, she'd not do this. The manner in which she addresses herself to David is, my Lord. Like Ruth, she calls herself his handmaid. She recognizes that she is at his disposal. She resigns herself. And there's no reason to read this at all as empty flattery. David certainly did not detect any such tone. He would have been very watchful. He would have been listening close for any hint of insincerity in her words. She's obviously respectful and she's humble. Her entire speech has no demands whatsoever there in it. She has no sense of deservedness. She looks to David to show her and her household grace. When the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid, she says in verse 31. So she makes a request, no. She even uses strategy, but not manipulation. She's not like some who, knowing the man is the head, see themselves as a neck that turns the head whithersoever they wish. She's respectful. The second, she sacrifices. She shows respect, but second, she sacrifices. She brings out much food for David and his men, but that's just the beginning. She also then lays herself down. Not simply literally, but figuratively as well. She sacrifices herself. Though her husband is a fool, she still will speak of him, and she still will speak of him as he is. Nevertheless, she takes responsibility for his folly. She puts his folly on her own head. She does not alienate herself from her failure of a husband, but makes it clear, I'm his wife. I'm one with him. She does not seek to excuse herself. She is at fault as well, though she has not done it. Upon me let this iniquity be, she says in verse 24. She lays herself down. She acts on principle, though she might feel like saying, it's not my fault, go get him. She has married him. She'll do all that is necessary for him. Third, she's honest. She's honest. She's a woman of truth. She tells it as it is. Nabal made this mess. She goes to try to restore what she can. In doing so, she's completely honest. Though she takes responsibility for her husband's sin, she also tells David exactly what kind of husband she has. Verse 25, Let not my Lord, I ask you, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. David, he is a fool. She's honest about her husband. She doesn't hide the truth. And she's honest about David as well. She declares that the Lord will certainly make David a sure house and make him ruler over Israel, verse 30. The reason she knows that this is because verse 28, she says, she recalls that he has fought the battles of the Lord and evil has not been found in him all his days. Therefore, she prays that his enemies and those that seek him will be as Nabal. Verse 26. She is a woman of wisdom and understanding. She sees how the Lord is moving in Israel. She sees how the Lord is working through this man, David. She's a woman who loves the truth of what the Lord is doing for his people, Israel. And she's honest too. And that she makes clear that if David were to kill Nabal, it would be a sin. It would be guilt on his head, verse 31, a thing that someone who will be king ought to consider. God has used a woman of virtue, a woman of respect, a woman of sacrifice, a woman of honesty. As we see, God in his word highlights the beauty of this woman. Her virtue. But that virtue, you see, causes this woman to have an attractiveness. That's her second point, the woman's attractiveness. The way in which Abigail conducts herself before David, it bears tremendous effect. Notice how wisdom working itself out in one's words and demeanor turns the heart of this influential captain. The Lord uses Abigail in a powerful way for the building of his kingdom, for bringing even salvation to Israel ultimately, as David would be used by the Lord to save Israel from all their enemies. And you see then the importance of wisdom. Wisdom, which Solomon says, cries out in the streets for men of understanding, for people of humility to hear, to listen. Do you see the importance of wisdom? Two people meet David in this story. Enter Nabal, when David is full of goodwill and has one request. Nabal's complete lack of any wisdom whatsoever unleashes a deadly hurricane of which he's completely oblivious. He's turned by the Lord into a stone. God strikes him dead. We see the end of folly. But then enter Abigail. When David is fuming, David is angry, would even kill her. And through the work of wisdom, she calms the storm and she's blessed by the Lord. You see the importance of wisdom. And she's attractive because of her wisdom. Young ladies, take note. What sort of man do you desire to attract, to have as your husband? A foolish Nabal? One who might yet be wealthy, might have much influence in the region around? One who might love fun and pleasure. Might be a lot of fun to be around. Or a godly David. She respects David. Indeed, David was courageous and had won her respect. But so too, women, you are to respect highly your husbands. Scripture says, submit to them in the Lord. It's not for you to think, well, I will change him. I will make him into a man that I want. That's for God to do. God has given your husband to be your leader, who represents Christ, the head of the church. And how is that church pleasing before the Lord? And what do we see the church's attractiveness? Is it not in her beauty? Is it not in her submission to her Lord and following his commandments and walking before him in faith and in obedience, respecting and fearing her head? Is it not in her grateful response to the salvation the Lord has given for her? So then, how is a woman, how is a wife attractive and pleasing? Is it not as she submits to her husband and in grateful devotion follows him as he provides for her and as he seeks to be worthy of her respect? It's not based on whether he's worthy of it or not. Just as the husband's called to love the wife and to care for her, it's not based on whether she is lovable or not. Just as Christ loved a church that was not lovable, so also, wives, you're not to base your respect in your, for your husband on whether or not he is respectable, whether or not he makes the right decisions. It's simply to respect him. And husbands are simply to love their wives. Virtue, then, is what is truly pleasing in this woman. Abigail is respectful, sacrificing, and honest. She's not manipulative, conniving, and a talebearer. How different that would be. Her pretty nose is not in the air, seeking how many men she can have fall for her. She's beautiful because her virtue shines forth. She's pleasing inside and out. And how so is it also true that when God's children, when God's daughters are indeed beautiful on the outside, as God has given to all women a measure of beauty, but when they love the Lord, desire to follow after him, they love the salvation of the Lord, they're devoted to him, they follow after him, they don't keep company with those who are full of gossip. Rather, they seek to encourage others who also obey the Lord, walk in a way that's worthy of the Lord. Are they not beautiful? Are they not tremendous assets in the church? Are they not great blessings? Young men, what sort of man, woman do you desire? What kind of woman would you give your attention to? Will your hormones guide you or your principles? And how are you seeking now to be a man who she will find it a delight to respect and to follow? David cannot help but be attracted to her. It does not explicitly say so here, but we can read it between the lines here. After she finishes her speech, after she finishes her entreaty to David, David says in verse 32, 33, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your advice, and blessed be you." And then later, when David hears that Nabal has died, immediately he praises the Lord. He says, "Hallelujah!" And he sends for Abigail to be his wife. What kind of woman do you aspire to be, young ladies? Ladies, you continue to grow in love and in understanding of God's word, spending time before the Lord and seeking to serve him humbly and graciously. And to serve humbly and graciously your spouse and your family and others. Abigail, verse 41, when she has been asked to be David's wife, she says that she would wash the feet of David's servants. Imagine that. A prominent lady in the air, in the region. She's looked up to. She's admired. She's going to be washing. She says, she resolves, she's going to be washing the feet of David's servants. We would use privilege to exempt us from that. She does it despite her standing and her privilege. She is a woman who is beautiful inside and out. And we praise the Lord for such women among us as well. Mothers and wives and sisters and grandmothers and daughters. Solomon tells us what the opposite would look like. When a woman is beautiful but has no virtue, what is she like? She's like a ring of gold and the snout of a pig. A ring of gold in the snout of a pig. In other words, it's a beauty out of place because its whole surrounding is ugly. It's beauty that's going to be used for dirty, ugly things. So the Apostle Peter says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. He doesn't say don't do it at all. He says, don't let it merely be that. Rather, let your beauty be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That's where the attractiveness is first based. It comes from God and it returns to God. Such a woman is beautiful and pleasing in the sight of God. So we see Abigail's virtue, her attractiveness, but last we see Abigail's reward. Lord, we see us turn things around for this godly woman. He's tested her, hasn't he? Being in a marriage with Nabal, he's put her through many trials. But now he blesses her. He smites down Nabal, who is unrepentant, thus ending the marriage. Let's say that now she's available. No sooner is that marriage finished than David hears, sends his men to go and scoop her up. A good question why David doesn't go himself. Abigail's destiny suddenly turns from the inglorious future of being a reckless fool's wife to being the wife of one who will be king of Israel. One might have said before to Abigail when she was king in Nabal's house, why do you give your soul to pursuing wisdom? You might as well just go on the same pursuit as your husband Nabal and do the things he does. Why would you spend so much time with the Lord? Why do you seek after godliness when it's just going to make you more and more aware of your husband's foolishness? All you do is not going to change your situation, Abigail. Such virtue is wasted in this marriage. Look at your husband who's supposed to be your leader. Ah, but you do not know the ways of the Lord, Abigail might say. Because the Lord might change things at any moment. Perhaps that might indeed mean many, many more years in this situation until he might take you home to himself. But perhaps it might be that the Lord would have you to prepare for something much more beautiful and to prepare even in this strange and difficult situation. In just a few weeks or even just a few days, Abigail suddenly becomes a wife who will be queen of Israel. And her time of preparation for that was all those years being Nabal's
wife. So we see how the Lord is sovereign in all these things. The Lord has our lives in His hand. And we need to trust Him in these things. We are called merely to walk in a way that's pleasing before Him. To put on virtue. To put on righteousness. To turn from sin. To turn from lust. To turn from envy. To turn from empty pursuits. To not give ourselves to these things of which the world might do. To look more beautiful. To seek to have a bigger reputation of being popular. To not simply seek to be Mr. Charming. To not pursue our cars and our real estate. To turn from these things. To turn to the Lord. To follow after Him and His kingdom. And while enjoying the good gifts that God gives to us. Seeing yet His calling clearly before us in this life. And to walk in such a way then that pleases Him. And to trust that the Lord will bless that. If it's His will, He will bring to you a godly husband. He will bring to you a godly wife in His timing. He will bring to you a companion perhaps. He will change your situation, either one way or another. Perhaps by calling you home and bringing you into His kingdom, where you enjoy the glories of perfection. And the blessings of His people, a perfected people round about you. And a bond in the Lord that will never be broken. Or perhaps even in this life as well. But entrust that to the Lord. And see His calling that's before you today. So we see, congregation. The true story of a virtuous woman used in a significant way by God and then blessed by God. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Abigail is to be praised. Indeed, the Lord is to be praised for His sovereign, His gracious way. But the narrator, God, has lifted up Abigail before us as well. She's to be praised as well. Such a woman is to be commended. Proverbs 31 describes the wise woman, and it ends with, Hallelujah. It almost sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Not Yah, Jehovah. Hallelujah. Her. Praise her. Let her works praise her. Such a woman is to be esteemed and praised. Men, praise and commend your wives. When you see acts and words that speak of godliness, when you see their silence which speaks of virtue and wisdom, commend them. One last word here. This chapter ends on a tragic note, doesn't it? It's such a letdown. David takes her to be wife. But then he takes another woman to be his wife. Ahinoam of Jezreel. Oh, David, how could you do so? In doing so, he loses his first wife, Michal. Perhaps it's the Lord punishing him. How can it be that a man who's just been so blessed by the Lord with the most wonderful woman can turn his affections onto another? May it never be. Men, guard your hearts. Keep from lust. But praise God that our Lord Jesus Christ has only set His eyes on His church, for which He died. For which He lives, even though we are not beautiful at all. And He continues to love her forever, much unlike David. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for how it instructs us, Lord, concerning your will, and how you encourage us concerning the blessings that you will give to the one who fears you and who walks in your ways and who heeds the call of wisdom. Oh, Lord, we pray that your spirit then would be within us and that we too then would listen to that voice of wisdom, that we would turn from sin and from folly, that we'd not listen to the dictates of this world and the dictates of our flesh, that we would listen to the instruction of your word. Give us then hearts to follow after you. Lord, we thank you for your spirit who is powerful and who is able to subdue sin within us, and who does do so, so that we even see among your people those who are beautiful. Thank you, Lord, then, for your work of sanctification in our hearts. Cause us, we pray then, to be pleasing before you. We pray for your work then within us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.